And I believe this is our prayer tonight, going along with our song, Search Me, O God, and Know My Heart. I think I took the songbook that I had up here at the page marked. You know, that song is quite a message in it. But it goes along with David crying out, Search me, O God, and know my heart. And try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so we're going to talk about some steps here to take for preparing for revival. Are you willing to take some steps? Are you willing to do what is necessary in your life to prepare for God to work this week? But, you know, really, again, we don't want to just schedule revival and then the revival's over and then there's no more revival. Amen. We want revival from God and we want it to make a mark in our lives, but we want our lives to continue on in revival as God would have it. So I hope that's our prayer this week. So let's begin tonight. Number one, personal evaluation. Personal evaluation. That's on page 8. You can also put examination, however you want to put. But the first step in revival is personal evaluation. Are we willing to even open ourselves up to be evaluated by God, to be examined by Him? So I think, letter A, let's take spiritual inventory. Amen? Take spiritual inventory. Now, one thing when we talk about spiritual inventory, let us know that we have to have God to search our heart. As I mentioned this morning, you can't do this without God. Because we're biased towards ourselves. We love ourselves. You know, we have a high opinion that, you know, we're not so bad and we're okay and we justify a lot of what we do. And so in our own opinion, we would probably say, you know, you're not so bad. But when God sees us, and that's where I think we have to enter into this to start seeing ourselves as God sees us. And the only way to do that is for Him to open up our eyes to our own sin and to our shortcomings and to where we're failing Him in our spiritual lives. David was willing to do that. You know, David was the kind of man, and what always challenged me about David is, like, when he said to God, he said, God, judge me according to my integrity. You know, he was willing to say, all right, God, you know my heart, you know what kind of man I am, and judge me accordingly. I mean, he didn't have anything to hide between him and God. And that's kind of where we need to be. Instead of hiding things. We know God sees all things, we do, but a lot of times we just don't want to open up to Him. Well, the first step of revival is opening up to God. Go to Jeremiah. We quoted that this morning, but Jeremiah 17 tells us a little bit about our condition in verses 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And if we stop there, we'd be in a whole world of trouble, would we not? Because we know where has the world, okay, like psychology and psychiatry and all of these things, where have they led people? You know, what's the answers there? Well, let's just drug everyone up, you know? And there is no answer. You know, I'm saying there's a lot of organic problems, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of organic, I mean, true physical problems that cause mental illness. I'm not talking about that. But there's a lot of things that, you know, they just discard because they don't know, they don't want to get into God's truth and say, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And a lot of what we need to deal with, in our relationship with God, and when we start healing there, we can start healing here, and we can start healing in our minds and our hearts. Amen? Amen. And that'll take care of a lot of the sickness that's going around in the world. Because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But then we see verse 10, and I thank the Lord for verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. But we do take comfort in this. God searches the heart. God knows our heart. And God can truly, he's the only one. That's why David cried out, search me, O God, and know me. Know my thoughts. Brethren, we have to ask God to do this. And to do that, you need some time. Amen. You need to sit down and kind of close everything out in the world and get alone with God. Now, this comes back, letter B, go through the self-examination questions in lesson two. And that's where, let's be honest, you know, this is not an easy test, is it? When you start really examining these questions here, how are we doing so far? Just in number one, have we forgiven everyone? Or is there bitterness in our hearts? Is there hatred in our hearts towards someone? Do we really want to revenge, you know, take revenge on something, someone? Do we refuse? Like, I will never talk to them again, reconcile with anyone. Do you see what I'm saying? That's just number one. Do we want to keep going down the list? You know, how hurt do we get when people speak or don't speak to us? And when people overlook us, you know, how our feelings, we wear our feelings on our sleeves, you know, and we're easily offended. How about when someone else is praised and we're not even recognized? So on and so forth. Brethren, take time. You know, there's some of these that really get down to this deceitfulness in our heart and our desperately wicked hearts that we need to start uncovering. Because really, these exercises also we should know God is the one who can heal all that. God is the one that can forgive us. God's the one that can take care of that in our lives. It's not just, oh, me, you know, and start feeling miserable. That's not the exercise here, and you'll see as we go on. But we certainly need to go through this process. Because we want God to show our sin as he sees it. This is a mirror, is it not? And God really starts showing us, okay, here's what's in your life. Here's your real condition. Here's your real nature. And here's my answer for you. So look at your efforts even. You know, what have you done with your life in light of God's word? How about your attitudes, your thoughts, when you start lining them up with God's thoughts? And God, just think of the fruit of the Spirit. Just put that list and start saying, you know, what is my attitude? What are my thoughts? How about Philippians 4 and 8, I believe, where he says, you know, think only true thoughts, only, you know, thoughts that are honest and of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But how often do we just let our minds to be filled with garbage? Can I hear an amen? Amen. How about pride and impatience, lustful thoughts overtaking us? Harboring bitterness, hatred, revenge. That goes back to that list. Just a few thoughts to get us thinking. You know, let's go through some self-examination. So number one, personal evaluation. Number two, personal repentance. Personal repentance. Are we willing to take care of our sin? Amen? Are we willing to deal with it biblically? See, the next step toward experiencing personal revival is to repent of every known sin. You know, only as God reveals it, deal with it. As God shows you. I think about our Christian walk. What is part of the church teaching and the services? As God begins to speak to you, then you have to respond in obedience and do something about it. Don't just let weeks and months pass by and say, you know, I'm not, you know, I really don't want to deal with my sin, or I don't want to deal with my condition. No, brethren, God speaks. Let's be obedient. Let's respond. And that's what we need to know. Letter A, repent of every known sin. And remember, we read in Revelation 2:5, God said, Jesus, amen, is speaking to his churches. And what does he say to the church? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Think about that when you lose the power of God. Amen. The churches, you lose, you know, think people, they say we're a church, but when God looks at them, they're not even a church. Because he's already removed the candlestick. I don't want that, do you? And so, we need to bring this down. How about Isaiah 55? And I always, this is a good verse, section of scripture to deal with. Are we thinking God's thoughts? Are we, you know, are we willing to abandon our thoughts? Are we willing to really line up with God's word? It says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you thankful that God, when he gives this promise, even in Revelation, he's saying, you know, if you repent, you know, God's going to come, and he's going to heal, he's going to bless, he's going to give rewards. When we do repent, God's going to, here it says he's going to abundantly pardon. He's going to have mercy on us. Amen? But we have to be willing, A, to repent of every known sin. And this is what I said in the morning. Revival is the Lord's work, but repentance is our work. Amen? Repentance is our duty. And we need to get on our knees before God this week and empty ourselves before the Lord. Pull everything out of the hidden places, your secrets, your heart, your soul. Those sins that readily come to your mind, repent of them. Then ask God to bring to your mind sins that you commit that you may not even be aware of. Amen? That's why David cried, search me, O God. There's some things that we do we're not aware of. God can show us. And I'm thankful he will. The history of revival shows that a true revival begins with deep repentance in our personal lives. And that is something we need. We're not going to have revival when we do not deal with sin. That's what I think. What is 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name. You see, it's God's people. If we humble ourselves, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we turn back to God, this is us. And I believe revival is something God wants to do with his people, but it will be because of our repentance, our sorrow, our desire to turn back to him. So what do you need to do? Make a list. Well, I don't want to do this work. Yeah, it's not nice, is it? Do you want to make a list of your sins, your compromises? Do you want to confess them? I think you say, well, I don't want to make a list. You know, I don't want to really deal with this. Then guess what? We're not really serious enough for revival. We really don't want revival. If we're not really wanting to deal with our sin in a specific way and ask God to show us. So not only repent over every known sin, letter B, grieve over your sin. I like Psalm 51, don't you? Go to Psalm 51. How did David feel about his sin here? I know God had to work in him. God had to send the prophet, amen, Nathan the prophet, and show him, tell him that parable, amen, and said, thou art the man. You know, you're the one that's guilty. But when he did, what did he say? Psalm 51, when he repented, he said, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Brethren, it wasn't just, okay, hey, you know, I don't, you know, this is nothing, and just everyone's the same, and don't worry about it. No, I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Amen. Brethren, he was willing to go through this grieving process over his sin. It wasn't just like, oh, you know, brush that under the carpet. Don't talk about that anymore. No, he wanted to feel that burden. He wanted to know that his sin. And brethren, we need to think we are sinning against God. Do we understand that? You're sinning against God. You're sinning against your Creator. You're sinning against your Savior. You're sinning against God. And He's the one that grieves the most. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. So that God grieves over our sin. Why don't we grieve any? Because we don't take the time to let this work be deep in us. I like Isaiah. Go to Isaiah 6. Remember when he got a glimpse of the holiness of God? How did he feel? See, in this process, when God begins to uncover your eyes, when God begins to show you your sin, some things are going to happen in your life. Like Isaiah, it says here, remember, he saw the Lord high and lifted up in verses 6, 1 to 3, and holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. He saw the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then what did he cry? Verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. This is the prophet. For I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Aren't you thankful then God can do his work? It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. But when's the last time we said, woe is me, I am undone, I am unclean? We need to think of ourselves. It's easy to find sin in everyone else, isn't it? We're professionals at that, right? But to find it in our own hearts, this is what we can do. And God can do this work in us, brethren. You know, grieving may lead you to some tears, and stay a while and cry as long as you need. You know, when God begins to work in your heart. So we see, when we start thinking of revival, personal evaluation or examination, personal repentance, and number 3, personal sanctification. Personal sanctification. This has a lot of latitude, brethren, in this personal sanctification. This has to do with our habits and our activities. And, you know, I can't speak for you, but you're going to have to allow the Lord to lead you even in the area of your habits and activities. There is some teaching in the Bible, one day we'll cover it, about doubtful things, you know. Doubtful things. You know, what do you do about things that are doubtful? Well, I think there's one rule in Romans 14. That's a good chapter There's 1 Corinthians 8, Romans 14. I won't get into that teaching tonight. But Romans 14 gives us a verse. And I think we ought to really think about this verse, brethren, when we apply it to our habits and our activities. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know, this is another, it said, you know, 1 John, I think it's 3:4, says, he that transgresseth the law is a sinner, because transgression of the law is sin. So when you break the commandments, you're sinning. But here it's saying, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And can you do this in good faith? You know, that's one of the standards we need to apply. All right, am I able to do this in the presence of the Lord? Like, I'm doing this in my house. What if Jesus was sitting here? Well, he is. I'm doing this in my car. What if Jesus is sitting next to you? Well, he is. I'm doing this when no one's looking and Jesus is looking, and he is. You know, we really have to start understanding. We ought to be able to say, I can do this in good faith. I can do this with a clear conscience. I can do this to please the Lord. And we have to start questioning, because, you know, many people don't care about what I'm preaching to you right now. They don't want to go that far with God. How far do we want to go with God? You have to ask yourself, letter A, question your habits. What kind of habits do you have that are sinful? What kind of foul language or vulgar language that you use that would not please the Lord? Are you addicted to food, sleep, smoking, drugs, alcohol? Do you have addictions in your life that you truly know are not pleasing to the Lord? You see, nothing can ruin you more than corrupt friendships, people that will drag you down, worldly people, people who have no concern for God and the Word of God, filthy movies, you know, wicked entertainment can destroy your thoughts and your life. Rock music and the world's music and the pleasures of the world, all of this are habits that we have. Activities that we choose to do. Do they please God? Do they build us up in the faith? Are they edifying us? Are they tearing us down in our thoughts, in our attitudes? Are they drawing us away from walking in the Spirit? Are they, you know, one of these things about Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8? And this is one of the greatest things that we ought to be thinking is, am I being a stumbling block for someone else? See, that's true love. It's like, yeah, well, I like what I want to do and you can't tell me what. No, the question is, what you do is, if someone's watching you, will they question whether you're a true Christian or you're a saint of God and that you love God? Or will you say, they will look at you and say, I thought he was a Christian or she was a Christian. Why are they doing that? See what I'm saying? That should be a major concern. Because that's what God wants us. You know, let's not judge another, but let us judge this. Don't put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's path. That's Romans 14, 13, by the way, that whole context there. So let's be careful to question our habits, amen? I know it's not, it just depends on how far you want to walk with God. Letter B, pray to God. Ask God to clean up your mouth. Ask God to get you free from drug addictions or any other addiction. Seek help and counsel. Memorize scripture. Ask him to help you keep food and sex in the proper perspective and help you to stay clear of things that so easily beset you. Listen, Paul said, all things are expedient, but not all things are lawful. Brethren, He said, I don't want anything to dominate me, to control me. And so we ought to even be concerned about things that may be good, but they control us. They dominate us. Amen? That's how concerned we ought to be. Question your habits. Pray to God. And then letter C, root out the roots of sin in your life. Are you willing to root out the root of sin? There's some roots. We just allow things to get deep in our life and things to build up in our life. And we've never really taken a hard look at it. And we've never really dealt with it biblically. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. We know one of those roots is the root of bitterness, right? Remember Esau? This root of bitterness. And these roots, brethren, is something that we become like, we want this in our life. Isn't that sad? Like Esau. Do we have a love of anger? Do we have the love of the flesh, the love of the world in us, the love of pleasure? You know, when you think about that, that was Esau. He was a profane man. But what was his man? What was he like? God said in verse 15, looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator, profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Here's a man who had that root of bitterness, failing of the grace of God. We know how much he had bitterness against his brother, probably against his father. These things, he failed the grace of God. You know, bitterness isn't a sin you just commit unto yourself. It's a sin that defiles many people around you, because that root of bitterness is in you and it kind of spreads like weeds in the garden. He said, thereby many be defiled. He was a fornicator. He was a profane. You know, there was the lust of the flesh in this man. The lust of the world, and he was a worldly man. He was profane and worldliness. And John tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are not of God. Do we love this world? And it's sad, isn't it? We can get into pleasure. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Hebrews. We can get into so much pleasure in this world, brethren, that it just makes us apathetic to the things of God and apathetic towards spiritual things. In chapter 2, verse 1, I like, there's some parenthetical statements here that are important. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Amen. Give the more earnest heed. What does that look like? You know, it's definitely not like Esau, right? It's someone who's very sensitive to the things of God and the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And they, you know, concerned about putting that they really obey what God's teaching them. And they put in the practice. And that's why he's saying, don't let these things slip. Let's not be apathetic, but when you get your eyes off the Lord and on the things of this life and on the things of the world, and go to 1 Timothy 6:10, and I know we don't like to talk about this sin, but it is a sin. Covetousness. And we could be guilty of this, even being a Christian. It says in verse 9, there's a warning here, but they that will be rich, will be rich, meaning you want that, fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Amen. We have to be careful that we don't set on our hearts on money, on the love of money, on the love of material things. Fact, Colossians 3:5 says, covetousness is idolatry. Mammon, you can't serve mammon and God, it says. That's what it's talking about, brethren. It's serious. And I know we don't like to talk about this or preach against it, but it's something we need to touch on, amen, from time to time, to warn us not to set our hearts on money, not to set our hearts on material things and covet after them, because we could find ourselves away from God and away from the things of God and drowning. It says it drowns men. Let's not do that. Amen? So we have a personal sanctification. Forsake all questionable habits, brethren. Are you willing to take time? Yes, I know, repent of your sins. But now, what am I doing in my life? What am I doing with my time? Where do I spend, you know, my thoughts? And where do I put my heart and on these things? Brethren, let's start examining that as well. And forsake these things that God's going to say, you know what? That's not a faith. That's sin. And then number 4, personal reconciliation. Are we willing to go this far with God? Are we willing to go this far with others? Amen. Personal reconciliation. Go to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. We'll look at some verses. I tried to remember some of these things are a little overlap in the morning, but I do think it's good to cover it and make sure we're clear about reconciliation and how we ought to deal with personal offenses and issues within our family, within our marriage, within our church. Mark 11:25. And when you stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. Brethren, Jesus is saying, you forgive. Forgive others. You may have something in your heart. Forgive them. Amen. I think of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was willing. He had that spirit of forgiveness. Yes, they had to come and receive him as Savior and ask him forgiveness of sins to be reconciled with God. But his heart was forgive them. Forgive them, God. You know, he's like, save them. But it says, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you. Don't you want forgiveness from God? He wants to forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, wow, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. There's some other parables and teachings all about this. But that is true, amen? If we want to have personal revival, let's get things right between us and God, amen? And let's get things right between us and everyone else. Whatever it takes. I think there's 2 steps. Letter A, seek forgiveness. Maybe you know you've offended someone. Go to Matthew 5. Remember I said this morning, God doesn't leave you off the hook. You don't have an excuse to say, well, you know, they offended me. I'm not going to them. Or they should be coming to me. Remember? I guess you don't think that way ever. But what does the Bible say? Now, we're going to talk about these both occasions here of offenses. Verse 23, Jesus again says, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. Brethren, it's saying, you know, God can say, you know what? What you did back then or what you said probably offended them or hurt them. I want you to go make that right before you worship me. Let me tell you something about all this. I think it's in here. It's coming soon. Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll save it. It's coming. Then it says, verse 24, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Brethren, God's saying you're worshiping me, and if you know you have things wrong with others, go make that right so you can properly worship me. Amen. So I ask you tonight, do you need to apologize to someone in your family? Do you need to apologize and make things right with someone in the church? Now, this is going to be a hard one. Is there something between you and a family member that goes back many years? That may be the one thing, the one piece of business you need to take care of in order to experience personal revival. That one thing. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to seek their forgiveness? Amen? And then, letter B, offer forgiveness. Not only seek forgiveness, but letter B, offer forgiveness. Go to Matthew 18. We're in the book of Matthew here. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Aren't you thankful that the Bible is a practical book? I mean, it really touches us where we live. It tells us how to make things right. It tells us how to get right. Remember, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the Bible is all about. It's for everything. Amen? And so we see, now we got this other problem here, brethren. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. So here's an occasion where someone offended you by what they said or did. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Just think of all the mess we would save by just going and doing what Jesus says right here. Meaning, if someone offends me, I need to go and talk to them and get that right between me. Not me and, you know, get on the phone and talk to, you know, my family member and you know what they did to me, or talk to brother and sister so-and-so, you know what they did. No, we are to go and follow these instructions. They have offended me. I go to them alone and I sit with them and I say, look, you know, you did this, you said this. I want to make this right. So, as I mentioned this morning, you have both instances, you have both occasions here covered, amen? If you have offended someone, go to them. If someone offends you, go to them. You don't sit there and say, well, I'm waiting for them to come to me. And I want you to understand what Jesus said. Now, he gave some urgency back there. I didn't read the verse. He says, agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. Brethren, I know this may sound strange and crazy, but I really believe it's the truth. Do not let 12 hours pass on any offense. Meaning, Jesus, go to Ephesians chapter 4. You got some offense. I know it's hard. Sometimes you're saying, well, let me cool off. But you got to get there quickly. You know, don't keep putting this thing off. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thy wrath. Brethren, let not the sun go down, meaning it's a 12-hour period. You're in that day, you got the offense, don't let the sun go down. Deal with it. That's what God tells us. Maybe the day passed. You know what? When a day passes, it's not really important what happened. Now it's important to just get right. You see, that's how we are. And you know, then you get this thing. You don't do what the Bible says. This thing gets so raveled up. And so it's like a ball of yarn trying to unwind all this stuff that's just been wound up, and you're trying to say, you know, you said this, you remember back then, and, you know, it just doesn't work, folks. You can't unravel all that mess. You know what it means? You're going to have the grace of God just to just say, I forgive you. It's so important. I just want to make this right. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what you said or what you did. What matters is we just make it right now. So I ask you tonight, isn't it time to make things right in your life? Isn't it time? And so we need some personal reconciliation. And last of all tonight, we need some personal worship. Amen. Personal worship, number 5. Brethren, when we start thinking of our examination, evaluation, when we think of our personal repentance, when we think about our personal sanctification, when we think about reconciliation with others. You know how you seal all that? You seal it all when you get with God every day and you're on your face and you're praying to God and you're in the Word of God and you're worshiping God. That puts a seal on all that we're doing. We need some personal worship. Put some effort in that prayer and that praise to God. Amen. Letter A, prayer to God. How long has it been since you got away from everything and everyone and you just spent time with God in prayer? Maybe you don't spend time in prayer, and maybe you rarely ever open your Bible during the week. But you need to get away to your prayer closet every day. Lay aside all else. Amen? Let everything be set aside for a season. It's like watching the news. You know, you can skip the news for 3 or 4 days and you turn it back on, it's the same old stuff. You just pick up. Probably the West said they turned it off for a year or so. They probably turned it on maybe or get a wind of it and say, you know what? It's the same old stuff I've been listening to a year ago, 2 years ago. You know, that's the way it is. And that's the way life is. Listen, folks. You can turn these things off and get alone with God. You can just shut this thing off and say, I don't need my phone. You know, I could spend time with God right now. Amen? We ought to do that. People can wait. You don't have to jump to the phone every time someone calls. If you know you're with God, that's more important than anything else. Prayer to God, Bible reading. Ask God to help you renew your commitment to prayer and Bible reading. Maybe you've gotten to the point in your Christian life where you don't even have a quiet time anymore. Things are just out of order. Your time's out of order. And there's so many demands on your life that you're just letting that run you and rule you. And you're not having joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in your life like you used to, because you sat before the Lord, amen? And you heard His Word, and God filled you for the day, amen? Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. That's what He says. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, God will feed you. God will satisfy you, amen. Brethren, in everything that I say up till now, let her see, anticipate God to work. Do you know, if we really do what God, if we take some time this week and we start putting these steps into practice, and you really get alone with God and you pray with God and you get before the Word of God, you know what? God's going to do something. Don't you believe that tonight? Go to Mark 11. And 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Brethren, aren't we anticipating when we ask God? Don't we believe He is able? He's got the power. He's got the ability to do, like Ephesians 3:20 says, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His mighty power. Amen. He is able. Are you waiting expectantly like a groom does for the bride to come? Are you waiting on the Lord? Amen. I think of some concluding thoughts tonight. Revival comes not when the guest preacher shows up. Revival comes when God shows up. Amen. And He's allowed to work in our hearts, in our lives, our church, our homes. Revival preparation is not a formula. Revival is an attitude. It's looking up to God, praying to God, staying at it until revival comes. And revival comes from God. I ask you tonight, do we really want revival? Are we ready to do our part? Are you ready to sit before the Lord and do some personal evaluation? Take some spiritual inventory. Are you willing to repent of every known sin? Turn away from it. Hate it. Let it go. Are you ready to grieve over your sins? Start getting upset over your sins and getting sorry to God for hurting Him most of all. Amen. Are you willing to forsake all questionable habits and activities? Are you willing to make things right between yourself and others? Are you willing to sit before the Lord and worship Him afresh and anew and seal all that effort with time and prayer and praise to God? Amen. And then are we going to anticipate tonight and believe that God is going to show up and God's going to do some great things with us this week? I believe He will. And I believe if we take the time to prepare, God can do something special in every one of us and in this church, in our homes, our families, and in this community. God can do it. God wants to do it. How bad do we want it? Let's stand tonight and pray.